Revelation 19:10, if you want to take your Bible out and see it, that'd be great. Thank you, Chris. God bless you. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We got a good surprise for you after service, too, the ministry fair. And that's part of this message as well. Revelation 19, verse 10. If you can put it up on the screen, take my angel down because that's messing me up. And I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, "See that you do not do that." So don't start worshiping angels. "I'm your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God." Read the last part with me. "For the testimony of Jesus." Okay, one more time, right? Let's try it again. "For the testimony." Four times we read that in the book of Revelation. Now remember, John is on the Isle of Patmos, and he's getting a revelation of who Jesus is. He's getting a revelation of the kingdom. And four times it's recorded in the scripture, in Revelation, this revelation that he's getting, that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. In Revelation 12, this is very important. You got to underline that in your heart. Revelation 12, they speak of the testimony of Jesus again, but it's in relationship to defeating the enemy. The enemy's coming against the saints, and they said, but they have possession of the testimony of Jesus. Now that's a little bit different than Revelation 19:10, because it tells us now that this testimony can be something in your belly. It could be something you possess. Okay? So what you possess will give you the victory against the onslaughts of the enemy. Okay? So we're possessing. We're in the process of possessing. Know this, church. There is a huge shifting in the body of Christ in the earth. And we want to go with the flow, right? We want to go with God. But there's a purpose for it. Now, how many have ever heard of Corrie Ten Boom? You remember Corrie Ten Boom? They wrote a book about her. They made a movie about her. Why? Because she was so extraordinary. She was so exceptional. Because the kingdom of God within you will determine the kingdom of God around you. How many knows that she was in a concentration camp? Starving, abused, people around her dying, and yet the peace of God surrounded her. Now, how could it be that she was in a Nazi concentration camp, but yet she lived in the peace of God? Here's why. Because the kingdom of God in her determined the kingdom around her. The exceptionalism or the extraordinary testimony of Corrie Ten Boom is what's going to become natural and normal for all Christians. It's not going to be a movie or a book or a testimony on TBN and we'll all get back and go, "Wow, look what God did." It'd be like, yeah, we all do that. Because we're possessing something. Okay? So we're possessing something. So the testimony of Jesus is a living communication from the very throne room of God by His Holy Spirit into the hearts of those who are connected to Him through covenant. Now, Jesus' prayer was, you can pray it with me, "Our Father," ready? "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Okay. The kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, for a long season, there is a group of people that sit back and wait for God to do something. Okay, God, send revival to Cleveland. God, would you just heal them? Lord, would you move on behalf of my children? right? There's a mentality that way. Not to discount the sovereignty of God. But here's the testimony of Jesus. Actively working in us the communication from the throne of God into our spirit by the Holy Spirit that says the kingdom around us is in direct proportion to the kingdom of God in us. In other words, God is saying, you release it. You release it. You have the kingdom within you. The kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven will come through the people of God through covenant who will manifest His kingdom through their lives, and the kingdom of God in you will become the kingdom of God around you. Now, let's look at this for a second, because prophecy... Let me read 1 Corinthians 14 first. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3. God, you need to help me with this because I got a lot to say and I need to be calculated in my words. So 1 Corinthians 14, 3. The Bible says, he who prophesies speaks what? Okay. What has happened in a lot of churches is when it comes to prophecy, we've shied away from it because of the weirdness and abuse of it. People giving people words, you need to quit your job, go move to Ottawa, Canada, you know, divorce him. God saying, you don't need to be under that bondage, divorce that man. You know, just weird stuff. And we've taken the baby in the bathwater and the tub and thrown it in the trash. But here we see that prophecy is for edification. It's for comfort. It's for exhortation. And this is important for us to connect to. Because the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So prophecy or prophetic people are people who possess His testimony and release it in the earth. That's a prophetic people. It is not that you have to wear a title, a robe, a collar, have an REV in front of your name, or a DD behind your name. You didn't have to go to Bible school. You didn't have to have some qualification. You just have to have the testimony of Jesus. You follow what I'm saying? Okay, so let me go on and show you what the Holy Spirit's showing me. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Spirit of God, right? Now, this is important for us. He was led into the wilderness. Let me ask a question. What's in the wilderness? Nothing. The Holy Spirit led him into a place where there was nothing. Now we know what happened there. He was tempted of the devil. First thing he said was, man shall not live by word alone, but by every bread alone, but by every that proceeds out of the mouth of God. This is my life. I live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's how I live. And so Jesus was brought in to the wilderness. How many days was he there? 40 days. Now that's important. 40 days is important, ladies and gentlemen, because 40 speaks of a generation. 40. It speaks of a generation. And how many years did Israel... Yeah. Okay, thank you. Israel was in the wilderness how many days or years? 40 years. And it was an end of a generation. The reason for that is because, and try to focus up here. The reason for that is because God was concluding something and He was starting something else. Well, what's interesting about that 40 years, there were two characters by the name of Joshua and Caleb who transcended that generation and inherited the promises. 2 out of 5 million. or 2 out of 3 million, or 2 out of even 100's a lot. Two. Because they believed God at His word. And they said, you are going to possess the promise. But 40 years has to come and go. And there's a shift from what was to what is. And so now we're seeing a whole new generation embrace the kingdom of God and operate in the kingdom that was totally different. So Jesus, at the end of 40 days, left the wilderness. In verse 14, and I want you to see this, Jesus returned. The word returned is important. He returned to Galilee, meaning He went in from Galilee. Right? Can't return to Galilee if you didn't go in from Galilee. So Galilee was His place of ministry. But before He could minister in Galilee, He went to the wilderness where there was nothing. My question is, what are you doing in a place where there's nothing? Well, He's being tempted of the devil. True. But that's not how He left, with victory over the devil. Let's read it. Jesus returned, how? In the power of the Spirit. He returned in the power of the Spirit to where? Galilee. And news went throughout all the surrounding region that He had come out of a place of nothing with the power of the Spirit. Here's the question. Did He go in with the power of the Spirit? Now, that's a hard one for us because we're thinking, well, He's God. Surely He had the power of the Spirit in the wilderness. And well, all we know is this, that He was led by the Spirit into an isolated place. It is a pattern for New Testament believers. Let me speak this to you now, and maybe you'll get it if I say, thus saith the Lord. Because this whole message is a, thus saith the Lord. So, it is a pattern for you and me to leave Galilee, leave your normal life, your everyday life, your fishing life, you're going and building carpentry stuff, you're going to the store, you're sending your kids off to school, you leave that Galilee life and you go into a isolated place and you receive the impartation of the power of the Spirit. And then you leave that place and go back into your everyday life. But you come back different than you went in. Now this is important. That's why soaking prophetic nights are so powerful. And I'm just trying to teach us corporately. But this is an individual pursuit. This is part of the shift of realizing that you must build that personal altar of God with Him alone, with nothing, just stripped down, bare, you and God, and you leave that place empowered by the Holy Spirit back to the dishes, laundry, grocery shopping, gardening, but you gardening under the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm slinging dishes in the sink under the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm changing that baby's diaper under the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, why is that important? Ooh-wee. So Jesus, let's follow His pattern. Now, let me say this first. I don't think it's a mistake at all that April of next year, T and I will be saved 40 years. I don't think it's a mistake. I think it's prophetic. speaking of a shift. I don't think it's a mistake that we've been married 42 years. Oh, I love it. She's so sweet. I don't think it's a mistake. This past Tuesday, by the way, our rejoicing goes with Esther Bowman. She's with Jesus. You don't know Esther. She's a blessed woman. She's in the presence of God. She went on to be with the Lord this week. Tuesday, I did a funeral for Teresa Collins, who beat us there as well. And I'm finding myself in funerals getting jealous. I'm like, man, you beat me. But I wanted to go to Florida because my pastor died. Bob Newman. Bob Newman was the pastor before me in this church. Now, I've been here so long, everybody thinks I'm the only pastor this church has ever had. But there was one other guy. His name was Bob Newman. And when I got saved, he tutored me, discipled me, and just answered all my questions. And I served him, and he called me into ministry. And then when he left, I took the church. And the rest is, you know, 34 years later. But anyway, he died. And the Lord spoke to me and said that this shift in time, 40 years saved, your pastor and his generation that he represents is dead. It's gone. And now I'm asking you, Caleb, do you want that mountain? And I'm saying, God, you promised to me 40 years ago that when we came into the land, you would give me the mountain. And I haven't forgotten. And as soon as we get in there, I'm going to get my mountain. And there's this prophetic picture of what God wants to do with the church. And if we can catch it this morning, I believe it's going to exponentially launch us into a realm of supernatural manifestation of prophetic nature. Now, when I say that, let me go back to the story. Luke 4, Jesus comes out of the power, out of the wilderness in the power of the Spirit. Where does he go next? Galilee. Then from Galilee, he goes into a synagogue. Goes to church. He gets into church, picks up a book, opens it up and reads it. This is what he reads. Come on, let's read it. The Spirit of the Lord... He has sent me to proclaim liberty, recovery of sight, and to set at liberty. And he took the book, closed it, and put it down. And then he sat down. He goes, today, this is fulfilled in your hearing. Let me ask a question. Did everybody in Jerusalem, in all of Israel, upon Jesus saying that, get healed? No. Delivered? No. Set free? No, no. But Jesus was prophesying. Now this is important. Catch this. He was speaking a prophetic word that was written in Isaiah, the prophet. Jesus quoted the prophet Isaiah and said, that is me. And you hearing this today, it's coming to pass. Then he sat down. In other words, he settled it in his heart and said, watch and see what God's about to do. Now this is a pattern for New Testament believers, all right? So, he quoted the prophet Isaiah and prophesied what he was about to do. And in verse 22, this is really important, all bore witness to him and they marveled at his gracious words. Do you see that in verse 22? Look, they marveled at his gracious words, which proceeded where? Where did the gracious words come from? He had to declare them. He had to speak them. And they all marveled. They went, wow, this is amazing. And they said, what? Here's the problem. This guy makes furniture. I'm his neighbor up in Nazareth. He does not have a doctorate. She does not have a prophetic title. He does not have the credentials of an organization or denomination. How? He's a carpenter's son. They had a hard time receiving that he was prophesying what was coming because he had been alone with God and he got a word from God about his life and began to proclaim it. Those that first heard it thought, this is great. And they go, well, wait a minute. How can this be? You're just Joseph's son. Acts 2:17 says, for all you classical Pentecostals out there, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. Okay, he talks about what? Your sons shall what? Okay, wait a minute, don't get ahead of me. Your sons and your daughters shall what? In the last days, God's going to pour out His Spirit, and your sons and daughters are going to do what? They're going to prophesy. And your young men are going to get, and the old man. Now, the difference between a dream and a vision is one you're awake for, the other one you're not. It's the same thing, but words from God. For some reason, we have taken that scripture and created an experience with it, a denomination, and point backward to it that we are, quote, Pentecostal. Because you can say, see my tie, tie my tie, I ride in a Hyundai. It's goofy. You follow me? Instead, your sons and daughters shall prophesy. So Friday night, we had a little prayer time at our house. Got my kids together, my grandkids. We were worshiping, playing some music, getting in our wilderness, alone with God. So I asked my grandchildren, what did Jesus show you while we were worshiping? And one of my grandchildren said, one of the guy boys, he said, I saw a picture like a trip to hell of people who need Jesus. And I said, well, we really need to pray about that because God's burdening you for the lost. And then my other grandchild, one of the girls, came up to me, Precious did, and she said, Papa, I saw a picture. I drew a picture. And she shows me a picture of a heart with lines on it and a hand coming down from the top of the paper. And I said, well, tell me, explain that to me. She said, that's God's hand wanting to play a melody or a song on the strings of our heart. And I said, oh. So that's good. Now, God gave a word for tonight's meeting. About a week ago, I can't remember who it came through or how. But the word said that in the soaking service in the East, chains will be broken. People will be set free from bondage, from chains. I don't know anything more than that. So I just put that away. I kind of hid that in my heart. So Precious pulls out the next picture. The next picture is a chair that's empty with a broken chain on it. And I said, well, what is that? She said, Papa, this is a picture of people's chains being broken and being set free. Because you notice, Papa, there's nobody in the chair. Do you see there's nobody in the chair? I said, yeah, I see there's nobody in the chair. Your sons and daughters shall what? Okay, now, Saturday night, we had a sleepover. Emma and Precious spent the night in our closet. Because when you live in an 800-square-foot, one-bedroom apartment, that's the option. Sleep in the closet. Well, anyway, Precious wakes up in the morning. She goes, "Papa, I had a dream last night." Now, the reason why she had a dream is because Lulu's, which is a candy shop, is opening up across from our house. And she dreamt about Lulu's candy shop. So Tina takes the girls to Lulu's. They opened up at like noon. They were sitting outside in that cold temperature waiting for them to open 20 minutes before the time because they wanted to get there first. The people saw them sitting out there and opened up 20 minutes earlier. And so my two granddaughters were the first to walk into Lulu's to buy candy. They're buying candy, of which we let them buy as much as they want and eat as much as they want when they're with us. We let their parents detox them later. That's the prerogative of being a grandparent. Anybody know what I'm talking about? All right. There was either a health inspector or a building inspector in the store talking to the owner. And Precious says to Tina, "That man was in my dream last night." Now she's 8. Okay, what did he do in your dream? Your sons and your daughters shall what? Okay. Now, church, Jesus spoke this word. He prophesied what Isaiah said. He repeated and said again what Isaiah said. Sat down, and they said, "You're Joseph's son. This doesn't make sense." And then Jesus responded in verse 24. I want you to read this, if you can put it up there. You got to read this, all right? Ready? Read it. So what did Jesus refer to himself as? Why? Because he had just prophesied. So Jesus established prophecy comes from a place of isolation with God, being empowered by His Spirit, and God giving you a word that you then take and speak to a generation, which simply means do it again. Now let's go back to the word testimony. Everybody say testimony. The testimony of Jesus, the spirit of prophecy. Do you know what the word testimony means? Do it again. So the do it again of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy. So the do it again of Jesus is prophecy. Jesus took what was already spoken about Him and spoke it. Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And then released it. To do it again, the testimony of Jesus is to take what Jesus said as He shows us in that place of empowerment, images, impressions, words. Sometime God will give you one word. One word. Maybe He'll just give you one word. Like for example, I'm going to hold that because I'm ahead of myself. But and you release it. And this prophetic word is done again. In other words, Jesus does again through the connection you have of the Holy Spirit, of what He has showed you, and you by faith release it, and He manifests it again. In other words, the kingdom of God is going to manifest through you and me. You and I. And that brings me to a very, very important point. This is so critical. This is where the shift is taking place. This is where the shift is taking place, where you and I have got to get it. Put John 14, 6 up, please. And I know some of you are praying for me to help me get through this, right? Because this isn't a sermon. I'm trying to make it sound like one. Okay, here we go. Jesus said unto him, say it with me. How many believe that? Okay. About 300 AD, the church started backsliding. It was mixing with religions of the world, secularism, humanism, etc., etc., etc. Went into a dark age and stayed there till about 1500. 1500 was what we call the Great Reformation. It's where Martin Luther said, this is ridiculous. Religion was never created to control people, but to empower people. He got that revelation. So he put his thesis on the door of the Roman Catholic Church. And he said, the just shall live by faith. So the way is to live by faith through grace. That's the way. However, we progress from that about the 1800s. We started getting revelation and restored truth. Because up to that time, people didn't understand truth. They didn't even know how to get saved. Reformation brought in the way. But then truth came. Jesus was the way. Truth. What is truth? Truth is the doctrines of salvation. In other words, sanctification, holiness. There was this introduction of the Wesley brothers and Jonathan Edwards and how the truth of living this Christian life and the truth of salvation, the truth of the Spirit, the truth of the salvation of man, all these little t truths were established. Even in the early, late 1800s, early 1900s, there was a revelation of the Spirit of God. The truth of pneumatology. The Holy Spirit. People were beginning to speak with other tongues. Glossolalia. Breakout. Revival in Wales and suddenly over in the West Coast and Azusa Street and Kansas. So there's this truth revival. Did you know that not until the 40s and 50s did we even have an understanding of the nine gifts of the Spirit? Howard Carter wrote the first real treatise on the gifts of the Spirit for us to understand and disclose for us what body, soul, and spirit were. We didn't even have understanding of that. So truth, 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 truth. However, there's a shift. The way, the truth, the life. What's the life? The way. Picture with me the tabernacle. The way, brazen altar, golden laver. The way in is through the sacrifice of Jesus. Regeneration by the washing of the Word of God. Ephesians 4, 26, the laver. It's the way in, the outer court. The inner court, three articles of furniture. They were showbread, candlestick, lampstand, and incense, the altar. Yeah, so in that Holy of Holies was revelation. The light, the lamp, revelation of truth. Partaking of the truth, the showbread. Offering that life up to God, Holy of Holies. However, that's not where God wants us to camp out. The way, truth, but now where? The life. Here's the shift in the body of Christ. And if we don't stop allowing our truth defense mechanisms to keep us separated, we're not going to unify around the life of Christ. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't have right doctrine. That's not what I'm saying. But for a long time, churches have divided themselves based on what you believe and I believe. Now look, we're all evangelical. Here's what's happened. Either we all abort what we believe so we can incorporate the golden laver and the brazen altar. And I've been to those meetings where as a spirit-filled pastor, I have to go into meetings where you can't speak in tongues or give words of knowledge because you'll offend the way. You know what I'm talking about? This is the way it is. You'll offend the way. And bless God, we don't want to offend the way. But I have a problem. I've got this truth. He's real. I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I see things. I feel God moving. But not here. That's the way. For the sake of unity, stay in the way. Okay, that, or your church and my church can't have fellowship together because your truth and my truth doesn't line up. Yeah, that's the problem. And plus, you'll probably take my people. If we come to your church and do stuff together, you'll take my people and bring them into your church, and then my church will get smaller.
Come on now.
Truth. But here's the shift. Little T's to the big T. Life. We have to embrace Father truth. He is the truth. In Him I live and move and have my being. I don't give God my time on Sunday because you cannot exchange time and expect to get life. You give life to get life. And a generation has given God an hour and a half of their time and threw a few nickels in the offering, expecting God to be so moved by our spirituality. And so now there's this shift of us saying, you know what? This is about the kingdom. This isn't about you or me. This is about Jesus. This is about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords on the earth. That the kingdom of God would make a forceful advance into this region. And that the kingdoms of this world would become the kingdoms of our Christ and of His Lord. And it matters not if my church is 20 or 2,000. It matters not if they know me or they don't know me. Because it's not about me. It's all about Him. And I'm ready to give myself for the sake of the kingdom. You follow what I'm saying? In order to do that, you got to give God your life. Now, Jesus constantly left Galilee and went to the wilderness. He would set himself apart to pray. And what he would do is he would be re-empowered with the Spirit. Y'all go over to the other side of Galilee. I'll be right with you. Went up to the mountain and prayed. There in the middle of the storm, he shows up. Walking on the water. Peter said, Lord, if that be you. I don't know if it's you, but if it is, tell me come. Because whatever it is freaking me out right now. And I just pray, Jesus, that that be you right now. Jesus, is that you? And Jesus said, come. How do we know that it wasn't some devil? How do we know that it wasn't some vision of hell that was trying to kill Peter and drown him? He said, well, Peter knew his voice. I think it was more than that. Peter had become part of his life. There was a life connection through the Spirit that when Jesus said, come, the power of that word resonated in Peter's word to say, that's Jesus. Now, we're not all there yet, but that's where we're going. So the other day when we were having dinner, waitress comes up and she says, hi, my name is, and we'll get you started with a couple of drinks. What would you like to drink? And we'll be taking care of you tonight. And the whole time I'm going, beep, 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 beep. God, I know I'm here because I'm hungry, but there's other reasons. I know I'm doing dishes, but there might be another purpose. I know I'm taking my kids to school, but God, I could run into somebody today. And I'm ready to release what I've heard when I was in the wilderness with you this morning. I got a word. I saw a man in a dream, and there he is. I saw a hand coming down from heaven, and it's plucking the strings of my heart. I got a word that said God is about to set somebody free, and I don't know, but that could be them. I'm ready. And it might just turn out this way. Hey, hi, you know, I just feel impressed of the Lord that you have two children at home, and one of them is sick or not doing well, and you've been really concerned about it. And I just want you to know God loves you, and he has a real compassion for that. And she looks over at me, and she said, I don't have any kids. And I think, okay. So I missed it. But what if I hadn't missed it? What if in that place I saw those two kids? When I was alone with God, what if God gave me the word and I said that to her and she said, how did you know I have two kids? How did you know that one child of mine has been in and out of the hospital and it concerns me greatly and I can't hardly do my job? How did you know that? I said, look, I don't know that, but I do know that God knows that, and he told me to tell you that if we'll come together in agreement in prayer that God can work miracles because he's a God of love. Would you like to pray right now? And she'll be like that prison jailer that said to Paul when he said, don't kill yourself, we're all here. He goes, oh my God, how did you know? You're in the dark. You got a word of knowledge that I was about to take a knife to my throat. You told me not to do it. What must I do to be saved? It is the manifestation of the kingdom of God in the earth, but it doesn't come when you give God your time. It doesn't come hanging out with little truths, debating over them and arguing over them, pointing fingers of accusation about other people. And look, I understand the abuse of the prophetic unction in the past. I understand that. People giving directional prophecies to people. Don't ever take a directional prophecy from someone without the affirmation from spiritual authorities in your life. Don't divorce your wife because you got a word that said God's called you to go preach and she'll be a hindrance. If you don't divorce her, you're gonna miss the call of God. What kind of nonsense is that? Okay, but at the same time, let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. But the point is, are you willing to go into the life of God? Are you willing to spend time with God? Are you willing on a regular, consistent basis every day, get in the presence of God, soak in the presence of God, let the Holy Spirit minister to you and begin to download into your spirit what he wants you to say, where he wants you to go, what he wants you to do, so that you get up the next morning with excitement and it's an adventure with God, and like you can't hardly wait to see what God's going to do next in your life. But it's birthed out of that alone time. And God wants to do it again. So the spirit of prophecy is to say again what God has shown you. Now, it's not always going to come with a scripture. God may give you a word that says, tell this person that their days of bondage are over. You say, well, that's not prophecy. I mean, that's not a scripture. It is Scripture, because Jesus said he would open prison doors. He would set the captive free. So I understand now that I'm just saying again what he already said. I just feel impressed of the Lord to tell you this, that your bondage days are over. As a matter of fact, God just showed me a person lighting a cigarette off of a cigarette. And that you're a chain smoker, aren't you? Yes, I am. Well, God just showed me that, but he's telling me that chain is going to be broken. And part of those chains are going to be broken tonight, because God gave that word and then gave a confirming word from an 8-year-old. You say, well, what can an 8-year-old do? It was last week, a 4-year-old prayed for a woman who said her leg was fractured in the West, came in hobbling. And little Aiden, 4 years old, laid hands on her and prayed. And she walked out normal. Now, why would God use a 4-year-old? Maybe 4-year-olds have a little more of a clear path. Huh? You know what I'm talking about? So we have this opportunity, church, for us to move into this next move of God. And here's the message, 2 Corinthians 5:19. I'm going to close with this because I have way too much message for the finish of this today. But just listen now. 2 Corinthians 5:19. It's out of the Voice translation, Voice Bible. It says, it is central to our good news that God was in the anointed, making things right between himself and the world. And this means that he does not hold their sins against them. Is there another part? Yeah, there we go. But it also means he charges us. I charge you in Jesus' name to proclaim the message. That heals and restores our broken relationships with God and each other. We as a church have to stop sitting back waiting for God to do something. God, do something. Oh, God. God, would you just do something? And God's saying, oh, would you just say something? But if you don't get in the wilderness and only say what he's told you to say, then you'll be like the traditional church in this last generation that has become very proficient on creating systems, departments, and programs to get people healed. Nothing wrong with programs, nothing wrong with systems, nothing wrong with departments and churches. However, if it's void of God's voice, then it's all by our own power. And he said, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. You're going to go over to some of the ministries that are represented in this church today to get plugged in. Why? Because you're prophetic. And we need what you see in the spirit and what you're hearing God say to be released through these expressions. A couple of weeks ago, I was in an intensive care family waiting room with a family whose mother was on the brink of death. Some lady we never met walked up and said, hi, my name is, and you don't know me, and I know that, but I have a ministry of singing to families who are in these kind of situations. Can I sing a song to you? We're like, okay. And she began singing, your grace and mercy has brought me through. The family took out their phones and they were filming it, and then she left. And your hospital visitation is not just visiting somebody that's in the church that's sick, but maybe God's called you to take 2 hours out of your day because he showed you in your wilderness time of just you and him that you're going to go into an intensive care room and sit down with your Bible and wait for somebody to show up. Let the Holy Spirit give you an unction and go, you need to pray for that person. And you need to release this word to them. It's more than just fulfilling a system or a program of a church. We distributed 131 gross families. We fed 131 families in the West Love Center on Thursday. But you know what I'm looking for? Not to give four bags of groceries to 131 families. I like giving out food, and it makes us feel good that we're distributing to the poor. But when they eat the food, what do they have? Trash. You should be there, sitting in the corner with a sign that says, prayer and prophecy for free. You don't have to have a sign. But your walk, can we pray for you? And as they walk through the door, your spiritual radar is on. And God gives you a download that says, this person's bound by this, or this person's got this abuse in their past, or this person here needs to know that God loves them. And if you'll speak that word, it'll break the bondage in their life. And you say, can we have prayer for you? Can we minister to you? And you bring them over to the side. You begin to pray. Suddenly the Holy Spirit begins to download. Not only do they get food, but they got liberty and freedom in the power of the Holy Spirit. So it's more than a program. You need the program, but you need the voice. We need both of them. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I'm asking you today to be empowered by the Spirit of God. And tonight, we'll show you how simple it is. We've done a couple of times here where we got a few minutes after the service. But tonight, we'll have a period of 30, 40, I don't know, minutes or so. And then we're going to release the prophetic team to minister to people. Then we're going to get testimonies. And who knows what God will do then. But I'm telling you tonight, you come into that place purposely to hear from God, you will hear from God. But you've got to want His life. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and that more abundantly. And it's time for a breakout. Go ahead and put my song on. It's time for you and me to allow the Holy Spirit to break into our lives and to break out into this generation and show His glory to the people that are without hope and without hope. And so over this room today, would you just with me worship Him? Just for a couple of minutes. Come on, church, just for a couple of minutes.
Break out.
now, we speak life, Lord, over this place. And we know that there are people in this place right now who have been contained, who have been corralled, who have been kept in a small place. And, Father, because of circumstances or events in their life, have felt and are persuaded that they could never be used by God. But that today, they're in this place today going, I want the life of God operating in me. I am passionately in pursuit of Him the way I heard today. I am hungry to be a prophetic part of this generation to bring release to the captives. Thank you, Lord. I'm not going to have you stand, but there's a lot of you in this room this morning that are going to leave the truth, the little T's. Not the truth of God's word. Your defense, your perspective, your opinion, your arguments about how you've seen things and what you believe and the division and the disunity that has just so crippled the church in this region. And you're saying, you know what, I'm going to go into the life of God. I need to have the glory of the Lord. I'm moving into the glory. I want His life for my life. I'm ready to give Him everything. And if that's you right now, I just want you to worship Him right where you're sitting, however you feel expressed to do that. Thank you, Lord. And God's healing right now, too. There's a healing anointing I sense that just came into this room. And with that confession and with that heart's passion, there's healing that's happening right now in Jesus' name. A left collarbone. I don't know if there's a growth on it or something, a cyst. But God wants to heal that right now. And maybe it's on the shoulder. I'm not real sure. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, that you are healing that right now. Thank you, Father. There's other growths that are being removed off of the bodies of those that are in this room right now. Warts, growths, tumors, in Jesus' name, we curse them at their root. And we command them to leave now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you are the healer, God, of our physical bodies. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is restoring what the devil has stolen in Jesus' name. Even with families right now, families are going to be restored when you didn't think it's going to be able to be a possibility. But God said, I'm going to bring them back into your life. And there's going to be a reconnection. And you're going to see my hand in this. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Even that picture that I talked about with Precious, with the heart strings, and your strings have been broken. There's been a great loss in your life. You've been even on the verge of depression. You felt like there would never be a song in your heart again. And today, God's hand, that picture of God's hand being extended from heaven was restorative to you. And you're saying, that's me. God's going to restore me. God's going to put a song back in my heart. Right now, I just feel like if that's you and you are just hungry for that song back in your heart, I want you to stand, if that's you, all over this room. Anybody with to say, you know what? I feel like my heart strings have been broken, but I feel like that picture that you shared was really a prophetic word for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, 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 amen. Those of you that are standing, amen. I'm going to say that over you right now. And Father, I thank you that the people who are standing right now, their heart strings are being replaced and repaired. And Father, your hand is coming from heaven to sing a melody, to sing a love song to them. Hallelujah. The Father is going to show you His love in such a magnificent way that you are going to be overcome and overwhelmed by it. And so even now, Father, I pray that the joy would be restored in them this very moment. God, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you will put laughter back in their mouths. You will put joy back in their heart. You will give them, Father, a hope. You'll give them a vision for the future. And you're going to just quickly turn it around and restore it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father, for those whose heart strings are being repaired in this room right now. Thank you, Lord. 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 I just want to pray against addictions. I feel like there are people that said, you know, that picture of me, that picture of that chair with the broken chain, well, I feel like I'm still sitting in it. And I don't know if you want to do this, it's up to you, but Nicotine addictions, I just come against that. I say those are broken over your life right now. Over-the-counter pain medication and prescription drug addictions are being broken right now. Pornography addictions are being broken right now. Addictions to failure. Some are in this room that you constantly sabotage your life because you don't feel like you're significant enough to receive someone's love or adoration, and you constantly mess relationships up. That's an addiction. You're almost addicted to failure. And I feel like the Holy Spirit is speaking to say, I'm going to lift that from you. I'm breaking those chains off of you right now in the name of Jesus. No more failure, but you're being released in Jesus' name. I want everybody to stand, and I just want some help. I want some help right now. In the name of Jesus, I feel like we need to lay hands on people who are, maybe if some of those things resonate with you. We're going to receive an offering on the way out. You can give on your way out, but I don't have time to take that right now. But give it, because we have to have it, because the bill has to be paid. But just give that on the way out. But right now, just ministry teams, come on up here and help me. Prophetically, I don't know, Adam, if you guys have anything to share, but I want you to feel free to do that. One of those things resonated with you. I want you to come out from where you're standing. And this is how we're going to conclude this meeting. We're just going to pray for you. We're going to release you into this freedom and liberty. If any of those things that we talked about, shoulder thing, tumor growth, warts, whatever, heartstrings, any of that, and you say, you know what, I just need to come in agreement with that. And we just want to pray for you. So if you move out from where you are, come across the front, and put that music on real low behind us, and we'll just minister to you. So would you make your way right now if that's you? And then also, we want you to go to the ministry fair, talk to the people about the various aspects of release, of where you can invest your ministry prophetically into this generation. We want you to do that, and you'll have a chance of having dinner on the house today if you'll go do that. There'll be a opportunity for that. But right now, we're just going to minister to that. And okay, Randy's going to play then if that... Oh, there we go. Okay, whatever. Either one. We just need to keep this atmosphere going. And you need prayer. Come on. We want to pray for you. We want to release this into your life. We want to sustain this ministry in you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Tonight at 7, we'll be here. And there's no agenda. There's no worship team. There's just going to be music played. And then we're going to release the Lord to speak to our lives. And you can bring somebody with you if you'd like. We'd love to see you. But live right, love everybody. Pray hard. Go over to the ministry fair. And we'll continue to minister to people around the altars. We love you. We thank you. Amen. Thank you.